So we are in our final week of 2024. And if this series hasn't shaped the way you're planning for the next 5 years, you better go back and listen to it again. You better get it one more time, because we are talking about who we want to be in 5 years. Who do you want to be in 2024? What does that look like? So over the past 5 weeks, we've talked about who do you want to be in 5 years? Why do you want to change? How will you do it? And when are you going to make those changes? And so today, I want to talk about what. But not what changes. I want to talk about what if. What if you achieve every goal you've set for 2024? What if you overachieve and you hit all the goals and then some? But what if you fail? What if life goes much differently than what you had planned? What then? So we're going to look today at a passage of scripture in Luke. And I love this story. Well, I'm going to talk about it a little bit. I have a love-hate relationship with this story. But we're going to look in Luke, starting in chapter 10, and we're going to look at two key characters in this story and look at the difference between the choices that they made. So Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, and today I'm actually going to read it from the Message version because I think the narrative of this is so beautiful and so important. So in verse 38, it says, "As they continued their travel, Jesus entered a village. A woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. She had a sister, Mary, who sat before the master, hanging on every word he said. But Martha was pulled away by all she had to do in the kitchen. Later, she stepped in, interrupting them. 'Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned me in the kitchen? Tell her to lend me a hand.'" Now, the reason I have a love-hate relationship with this story is because, unfortunately, I'm Martha, y'all. I often find myself Martha-ing real hard, okay? So Martha has all these plans. Jesus, who she knows is the Messiah. Y'all, the Messiah is coming to her house. Like when you say, we're only going to use that china when the Pope comes, Martha had to get this china out, okay? She had to get it out, make sure none of it was cracked. Surely she had a to-do list. Now, this is not in Scripture. Today, you're going to get a lot of the HWV. This is the Hannah White version of Scripture. So surely Martha had a to-do list. Come on, girl. If you're an epic party planner, you've got a to-do list of all the things you need to clean, all the things you need to do, all the things you need to prep, all the things you need to make. And that's where Martha's at right now. She's living in the land of to-dos. She's not wrong. These people got to eat now, okay? So when Jesus shows up, he's not like by himself, like, nobody knows I'm the Messiah, it's just me. No, Jesus shows up, and it's like a posse of people have come to Martha's house, and she has to be ready. You can't just like call and order the $5 hot and ready from Little Caesars, like, this is the Messiah. There's a lot of people. We've got to have some food. She's not wrong. She's not wrong in what she's doing, but there's actually a better choice. You see, because Scripture references her sister, Mary, and today we're going to look at how one sister was totally concerned with the preparations while the other was concerned with who they were preparing for. And so Scripture moves on and talks about Martha in verse 41, how Jesus responds to her. And I love that Jesus, he doesn't condemn her. That's not who he is. That's not how he works. And he speaks so softly and so tenderly to her and says, "Martha, dear Martha, you are fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course, and it won't be taken from her." So the title of today's message is, "When in doubt, be a Mary." And it can be summed up in this one sentence. Every plan can fail, but God's. Every plan can go wrong, but God's. So we're going to look at what Mary did, and we're going to choose to be like Mary today. Because Jesus says right here that what Mary did was she chose. So that's the first thing we're going to do. We're going to choose it. We're going to choose to make time to listen to Jesus. And what's so cool about this is this choice that Mary made, Scripture doesn't give you all of like the ins and outs. You know, there's some research that has to come in to what we're gleaning from Scripture. So this is actually a really controversial choice that Mary made, because in this time, in this culture, women were not allowed to be disciples. And if you sat at someone's feet and took that posture of learning, that meant you were a disciple, and that was a huge no-no. Women were not allowed to do that. And then on the other side, teachers weren't allowed to accept a woman. So if for some reason she was brazen enough to do that, you were to shun her away and send her back to the kitchen. So the first thing we see here, just a side note, is that Jesus loves women. Jesus loves equality. Jesus loves having everybody in one house working together to learn and be more like him. So don't ever let anybody tell you any differently, because it says it right here in Scripture. I didn't make it up. It's Jesus. He said it. So it's right. What Martha was doing wasn't wrong. It wasn't bad to want to serve and feed and take care of all these people. That's excellent. But what Jesus points out is that Mary made a choice to put her priorities in place. Have you ever felt that way? Like you are strapped to this to-do list, and you've got to check off every single box, and you have so much to do. Even here at Village Heights, serving on a team, how easy is it for us to go, we've got to get all this done, we got to make church happen today, and we can almost forget who we're making church happen for. It's hard sometimes to focus in on what we should be doing in that moment, to press pause and look at what our priorities should be. And we tell you all the time, so how do you choose it? How do you choose a relationship with Jesus? Well, we talk all the time about read your Bible. That's an easy, really first step one. Read your Bible. Come to church and worship. Take time to talk to God in prayer. But if your life looks anything like mine, that's hard. It's hard to like quiet all of the crazy children in your house. Or it's hard to stop when you are the one making it happen at work, to like, hold on, give me a second. I'm going to go back into my office and take 5 minutes to just be in quiet. Who can do that at their job? So there's something that a tool that I actually started using a couple years ago. And I highly recommend it if this is something that's, you know, kind of your thing. But it's this app called Abide. It's on my phone. And what it does is it takes scripture, and it can be like one scripture verse or maybe a short passage or maybe a theme throughout the Bible, and it helps you meditate on it. Because let me give you a little secret. It doesn't matter how much scripture you read. It matters how much scripture you digest. You can read words all day long, but you have to actually internalize what you're reading and let it change you and challenge you and move you in a different direction for it to matter. So this app, it's just, I mean, it's an app on my phone. Like, that's so simple. Like, that's low-hanging fruit. So why not just try it? But it, like, walks you through focusing in on what scripture is talking about and what it's saying and the context of the scene, and paints this really beautiful picture. And not all of it, like, in it is straight like gospel truth, but they use like a little bit of creative liberty to kind of paint the scene and put you there. So it's worked really well for me to help me focus in on what's most important and really set my mind in that direction. And so what's really beautiful about it is last year we went through a really rough time with someone very close to us, and it was hard for me because it made me question everything about myself as a leader, everything about what I had set out to do, to the point where I would read scripture and I'm like, do I even really know what this is saying? Do I even have a good understanding? It made me wonder everything about myself. But I had made a choice before that to put practices into place that would guard my priorities, so that long before I was at the crossroads, I had already made the choice of what was going to happen. I had already made the choice of where I was set on, and it helped to have those principles and practices already in place. I had already made the choice. So maybe life doesn't go the way you planned. In 5 years, in 2 years, in 1 week, it's not what you set out to do. We have to choose what we're going to do beforehand. Before the chaos hits, we have to make the choice to listen to Jesus and then surrender to him. Mary made the choice to make time for Jesus, and then she did something about it. So we're going to choose it, and then we're going to do it. Now see, in the HWV of this passage, I'm sure that Martha had given everybody else a to-do list as well. She had her list and then subcategory list for all the other people. And so surely Mary also had a list. But scripture doesn't tell us what Mary did. Maybe Mary got everything done super quick. She knew Jesus was coming and she's like, if I don't do this, this, and this, Martha's going to be ticked. So I better do it so that I have time to go and sit at Jesus' feet. Or maybe she just decided, Martha, that's not important right now. The napkins don't need to be folded like swans. That can wait. I'm going to go sit at Jesus' feet. She made a choice, and then she did something about it. Be about it, right? Be about it. She didn't just think, that's a good idea. That's a good idea to go and sit at Jesus' feet. I'm glad that everyone else is able to do that. She made a moment to do it herself. And then Jesus even describes what Mary got as the main course. She got the main course. Listen, nobody goes to a Michelin star restaurant for the appetizers. Sure, they're great. That's good, and you'll enjoy it, but you go for the main course, the meat, the potatoes, the thing that will fill you up with all that you need to power through whatever is ahead. Mary got the main course. In this moment, in the sunshine of their life, Jesus was actually teaching Mary and Martha principles that he knew they would later need in the shade. Because you see, the next time we read about Mary and Martha, their brother dies. And this is what it says. This is a long passage here, but it's full of so much stuff. So we're going to read in John chapter 11 about the story of Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. And in verse, it's in the Message version, so it's kind of verses 17 through 20. It starts out and says, when Jesus finally got there, he found Lazarus already dead for 4 days. So Mary and Martha had sent word to Jesus, like, it's not looking good, Jesus, you better get here. And Jesus didn't do it. And so he shows up, and Lazarus is dead. Martha heard Jesus was coming, and she went out to meet him, which is funny because I feel like that's Martha, girl, I feel you. So, like, he's coming. I'm going to go and hurry and get there quicker so that maybe he could do something quicker. Mary remained in the house. Martha said, Master, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you. Jesus said, your brother will be raised up. Martha replied, I know that he will be raised up in the resurrection at the end time. You don't have to wait for the end. I am right now, resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this? Yes, Master. All along, I have believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world. After saying this, she went to her sister Mary and whispered in her ear, the teacher is here and is asking for you. The moment she heard that, she jumped up and ran out to him. Jesus had not yet entered the town, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When her sympathizing Jewish friends saw Mary run off, they found her, thinking she was on her way to the tomb to weep there. Mary came to where Jesus was, waiting, and fell at his feet, saying, Master, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her sobbing, and the Jews with her sobbing, a deep anger welled up within him. He said, where did you put him? Master, come and see, they said. Now Jesus wept. The Jews said, look how deeply he loved him. Others among them said, well, if he loved him so much, why didn't he do something to keep him from dying? After all, he opened the eyes of a blind man. Then Jesus, the anger again welling up within him, arrived at the tomb. It was a simple cave in the hillside with a slab of stone laid against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. The sister of the dead man, Martha, said, Master, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus looked her in the eye. Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Then to the others, go ahead, take the stone. They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, Father, I am grateful that you have listened to me. I know you always do listen, but on account of the crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe you sent me. Then he shouted, Lazarus, come out. And he came out, a cadaver wrapped from head to toe with a kerchief over his face. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him loose. Every plan can fail but God's. Mary and Martha were close to Jesus, very close to Jesus, and they almost missed it. You see, they had a plan. They knew if Jesus would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. He could have kept him from dying altogether. But Jesus knew that his plan meant that he could do so much more with what we have than we could ever imagine. It's good to make plans. Make plans. Work hard towards your goals. But more so than achieving those things, we should want to see the glory of God. You have goals that you're working to conquer, but even if you fail, he still has a purpose and direction for you. So sure, set goals. Maybe you want to run a marathon. That's awesome. But what happens if you end up a year from now in a wheelchair? Sure, invest in the right stocks. You've got really wise counsel and you know that's the right direction. What happens when you file for bankruptcy? Make plans for retirement. It's so close. You're almost at the finish line, and then your spouse passes away. Make plans to meet the one and get married and have the kids. What if you'd never find that person? Make plans. Head in a direction, but trust that even when life happens, because it does, even when the chaos hits, we live in a broken and fractured world, so plans can absolutely be derailed in an instant. But God is still gracious enough to show us his glory, even in the midst of chaos. I've personally lost very close loved ones unexpectedly. I've been with others on a journey to file for bankruptcy. I've seen people go through divorces that were very close to me. I've walked through with very dear friends the grief of infertility. And I have friends whose companies have shut down without a moment's notice and were left without a job in an instant. But in every situation, I have seen that God is still good. And now on the other side of it, what was tragic and hard and tough to go through has now turned into something so beautiful. Do we let it define us? No. Do we let it shape us? Absolutely. Because God is still good. And we're going to actually take a few moments at the end of today's talk, and we're going to respond to what God is saying to us. But before we do that, I want to share one more story from the Bible about three guys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so these three guys loved God and obeyed the law and adhered to that direction of life. And then King Nebuchadnezzar shows up. He's the ruler over the land, and he builds this gigantic golden statue. And he says, every time musical instruments play, everybody bow down and worship this giant gold statue. Super humble. Worship that. So there's some counselors and wise, you know, wise men that come to like let the king know, hey, everybody's totally loving the gold statue. Great idea. Everyone's doing the worship on the instrument thing. It's so awesome. But, and this is what it says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 12. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up. So the king is ticked. All right, he has sent out a decree that everybody had better do this or they're going to get thrown into a furnace. So he hears this and he's like, all right, bring them to me. It's payday. You either do it or you're going into the fire. And so, of course, they come to him and the king is in this, you know, crazy tirade. And this is their response to him in verse 16. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Even if he doesn't, we aren't moving from his plan. We are not weak-willed, small-minded quitters. That's not who we are. Even if everything goes wrong and our feet are to the flames, nothing can shake our trust in God's purpose for our lives. Nothing. And this is why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ended up getting thrown into the fire, probably because of their smart mouths, but it's fine. And God delivered them. God saved them. And scripture says that Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire and he's like, wait a minute, didn't we throw three guys in there? Why is there a fourth guy in there? Who's the fourth guy in the fire? And they came out without a scratch on them, without a burn on them. Could God have saved them from the flames altogether? Could God have intervened beforehand and never even let them get into the fire? Sure, that wouldn't have been as cool. And this is what scripture says in verse 28. This is why it was so important. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king. They defied all odds. They set their plan on hold and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own. There is no other God who rescues like this. And that's why, even if our plan fails, even if it crumbles in our hands, your money can't save you like God can. Your relationships on this earth can't save you like God can. Your health can't save you like God can. No other God rescues like my God, like our God, like that God. Every plan can fail, but he can't. It's not in his nature. It's not who he is. So we set goals and we work hard. Bill and I live life in the mindset that we work like it depends on us and we pray like it depends on God, because it does. Both. It does depend on us. We do have to work hard. But then God shows up and shows off and does something amazing in our wins and our losses every single time. So we're actually going to respond to this message today. And so step one was, we have to choose it. Maybe you've never chosen Jesus. Well, good news. You can do that today. You can ask him to come into your life and be Lord over all the mess. And he loves it. He loves your mess because he loves you just the way you are. But maybe you've done it. You've chosen him. And you're like, okay, I get it. then now it's time to do something. What is God speaking to you today? What is God pushing you towards today? What steps do you need to take to recommit your faith in his plan? So Kyle's going to sing a song. I'm going to pray for us, and then Kyle's going to sing a song, and we'll take a few moments just to respond to that, just to talk to God, to have a moment to hear from him and to tell him about all that's happening in your life, because he loves hearing from you. He loves talking to you. He loves it when you choose him every single day. So let's pray. Jesus, we love you. And we are so, so thankful for the power of your word that gives us sustenance to live this life. Thank you that you've given us great minds and creativity to make beautiful plans that we could make work by our own power. But God, thank you that we don't have to. That you come alongside us, come behind us, come in front of us, and make a way where there seems to be no way. Thank you for picking up the pieces of our lives, our brokenness, our mess, our chaos, and turning them into something beautiful. We ask that you come into our lives, change us, shape us, use us for your purpose. Because God, we know that whatever you have planned for us completely overshadows anything we could ever come up with. So God, we love you and we thank you.
I want this response this morning to not be singing, so we're not going to have words on the screen. What I just ask of you is just talk to God. Talk to him this morning. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about anything else. This is a song that's like, it just came out, but it's like on my heart so bad. And I know that someone, maybe more people, I'd be willing to go all in with my chips, that this will speak to you. I wish I wrote it, but I didn't. So just, seriously, just talk to God. If you've never done that before, talk to him like I do sometimes. Just say, "What's up, man?" Like, that's how we can come to him. We can say, we don't have to have these special words. We just come. sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough and take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you, Jesus. I'm caught up in your presence. I just wanna see.
Interest over the last 5 weeks about how making one small step in the right direction over time, over the next 5 years, is going to revolutionize our lives and this church and this neighborhood. And I'm excited that we get to be a part of it together, that together we get to set plans in place and trust that even if we mess up, even if life comes in, God is still good, and we still get to experience his glory and his wonder alive in our lives. So I hope this series has shaped you, has shaped your future, has shaped your relationships, your finances, everything around you for the better. But more so, that you've experienced God in a new way, and that you can never be the same because of what he's doing in you. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll close out service today. So let's do that together. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for what you have done in this house today. Thank you for this message that has challenged us to be better, to be more like you. God, we're thankful for the wisdom to create plans. But Lord, we're sorry that we've made those plans our Lord, because they're not. You are. So thank you for coming into our lives and meeting us and helping us.